John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Tuesday, September 4th, 2012. In some Arab countries, self-immolations have sparked mass protests. Today in Palestine, self-immolations are on the rise and protests continue across the West Bank. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Protests against price increases on goods and fuel are happening for the second day across the West Bank, including Hebron and Ramallah. Protesters are demanding the resignation of Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Salam Fayyad, whose government they hold responsible for the price hikes. On Tuesday, a municipality guard in the Palestinian village of Dura, near Hebron, succeeded in preventing a local man from dousing himself in gasoline and setting himself on fire. The 42-year-old resident of the Al-Fawar refugee camp has recently been unable to make a living, even working for the Palestinian police and as a taxi driver. Ihab Abu Nada, a 20-year-old Gazan man, killed himself in a public act of protest Sunday, dousing himself with gasoline and setting himself on fire. In a statement, his family shared he was frustrated at being able to find a job and decided to take his own life to protest the conditions in Gaza, a place where he and other young people feel that they have no future. Palestinians are very highly educated, and yet a recent report by the United Nations stated that if present conditions are allowed to continue without a lifting of the naval, air, and land blockade, Gaza will be unlivable by the year 2020. This marks the first such self-immolation protest in Gaza, although local human rights groups say that dozens of Palestinian residents of Gaza have been pushed to commit suicide due to the dire economic situation. In other news, price tag attacks carried out by extremist Israeli settlers against the Palestinian people, their lands, and property continue today. Tuesday at dawn, a group of extremist Israeli settlers attacked the Latrun Christian Monastery in occupied Jerusalem. Israeli Ynet News reported that the wooden door of the monastery was burnt and racist graffiti describing Jesus as a, quote, monkey and other disparaging language towards Christianity in general was found at the site. The attack was carried out around 3:30 a.m. A monk sleeping nearby managed to distinguish the fire before it spread. Tamir Al-Atrash, media spokesperson of the Youth Coalition Against Settlements, reported that several Israeli soldiers stopped his car, forced him out, and began shouting, kicking, and punching him. The attack happened in Hebron, in the southern part of the West Bank, Monday night. Al-Atrash reported that he recognized the soldiers who attacked him as soldiers he had previously filmed assaulting other residents near Hebron. Several residents, including children, suffered the effects of tear gas inhalation Monday. Local sources report at least two military vehicles invaded and fired gas bombs at dozens of homes near the northern West Bank city of Jenin. Dozens of injuries were reported. An explanation for the attack is still unknown. The Israeli military reported Monday that a Palestinian man dropped a bag filled with explosives at a roadblock near Nalin village and the central West Bank city of Ramallah. Explosive experts arrived and detonated the explosives in a controlled explosion. The suspect arrived at the roadblock without a permission to enter, and Israel and was turned away. Shortly thereafter, the man returned carrying a bag. When the soldiers wanted to search him, he threw it at them and ran away. That's all for Palestine today. This was Tuesday, September 4th, roundup of news from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hussam Kassis and me, Catherine Anderson.
Afghanistan, 3rd of September. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unspecified nationality from an IED blast at an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, reported 2nd of September. U.S. and NATO forces have suspended training of Afghan puppet soldiers and police due to the wave of so-called green-on-blue attacks. These are the repeated incidents where Afghan trainees, cops, or soldiers have suddenly and without warning opened fire on U.S. and NATO troops, killing at least 45 this year alone. Kandahar Province, Afghanistan, last week. Someone beheaded a 12-year-old boy, claiming his brother was collaborating with the police. The Taliban denies any responsibility for this. If this was a rogue operation, the perpetrators may well receive the same fate, preferably with a butter knife. Pakistan, 4th of September. Unknown gunmen burned two NATO oil tank trucks and injured three drivers on National Highway Dadra's bypass area of Balochistan's Kachi district. Police reported a convoy of tank trucks passing from Karachi to Afghanistan was intercepted by armed men who opened fire. The bullets set two of the tankers on fire and wounded three drivers. Pakistan, 3rd of September. A suicide car bomb rammed a U.S. diplomatic vehicle and detonated in Peshawar, killing two bystanders and wounding 19 people, including the passengers. Nobody inside was killed outright, due presumably to armor on the vehicle. The TV cameras showed a completely burned-out SUV at the scene, believed to be the bomber's truck, which in turn was said by local cops to have carried over 220 pounds of high explosives. That's some armor if anyone survived in the target vehicle. The information minister of Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province claimed four people had been killed, including two Americans. The U.S. State Department denied that, claiming, quote, two U.S. personnel and two Pakistani members of staff were injured but not killed in the attack. Mr. Barack Obama, this was not why anti-war voters helped put you in office. Now's the time to throw in the towel. Bring all the troops home today.
put a gun in their hands, fill their heads full of lies, put strength in their hearts and fear in their eyes. Old soldiers never die, they only fade away. But the young ones do not die, no, they are cut down instead. And someone pulled the trigger, gave the order, held the sword. And someone wrote the advert in the paper that they read. I will be done. But you won't get your hands on my son. You can't wait till kingdom come.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTradio@hushmail.com. Campaign of punitive strikes against a grand jury investigating anarchists and occupiers on the West Coast continues. You may remember the Wednesday, 25th of July FBI raids against activists in Portland, Olympia, and Seattle. In those raids, search warrants listed anarchist literature as the subject to be searched for and stolen by cops as they smashed people's homes. In addition to the raids, a grand jury began a fishing expedition into West Coast anarchists and occupiers. Now the shoe is on the other foot. Not one person receiving a grand jury subpoena has agreed to cooperate, and a storm of anarchist property destruction attacks was set off by the raids. On the 22nd of August, in San Francisco's Mission District, anarchists smashed every yuppie or gentrified thing they could find. Afterwards, they released this communique. In the early morning of August the 22nd, in San Francisco's Mission District, we joyfully attacked all presence of gentrification and yuppie windows we could find. These malicious acts were done in solidarity with those in the Pacific Northwest resisting grand juries. New and old condos, cafes, BMWs, Porsches, Mercedes, antique stores, fine restaurants, modern furniture stores, among many others, had their windows permanently etched with the anarchy symbol, die, die yuppie scum, fuck off yuppies, yuppies out, and a variety of other obscenities. To our companions currently facing or who do face grand juries in the future, say nothing. You have waves of invisibles behind you ready to coalesce from the woodwork and attack at the ready. The people and businesses we attacked with smiles and laughs have for decades and still continue to actively displace and destroy the generations of families in the Mission while continuing the project of capital by commodifying and compartmentalizing all modes of existence and ways of being. This project of capital is enforced and backed up in every regard with a constant harassment, beatings, and murders of the San Francisco Police Department. In this regard, we send our fiercest love to those who recently rendered unusable San Francisco Police Department and Oakland Police Department vehicles. We see your actions, we are inspired, and continue the attack. It's so easy. We also send our revolutionary fire to the Tinley Park 5, the Cleveland 4, C.C. McDonald, Eric McDavid, Marie Mason, and all others who attack the existent. That's the end of the communique. The folks named in the end are activist prisoners of war, either facing extreme charges or serving long prison terms for fighting back. Hey, FBI and grand juries, if you don't like the heat anarchists are bringing down on you and your masters, now's the time to get out of the kitchen. Cancel all the grand jury subpoenas, release our prisoners, and apologize on your knees to the raids.
So die, oh.
the 28th of August, there was yet another attack on a corporate target in solidarity with anarchists and Occupy activists refusing to comply with grand jury subpoenas in the Pacific Northwest. Here is a communique from the fighters in San Francisco who targeted Wells Fargo Bank, notorious for their support of private prisons. Quote, in this morning's early hours, a Wells Fargo Bank branch had two of its doors and all four of its ATMs glued shut. This small act of sabotage was in solidarity with those resisting, by whatever means, the grand jury in Seattle. We would also like to express our complicity with Mario and Felicity in Mexico and with CeCe in Minnesota. For the silent ones, prisoners to the streets! This ends the August 28th communique from San Francisco's brave anarchist warriors fighting back against the FBI and grand juries. Of the Republican National Convention, as Mitt Romney gave his acceptance speech, two members of Code Pink stood up, unfurled banners reading, "People over profits, and democracy is not a business," no doubt referring to Mitt Romney's experiences at Bain Capital and his nasty remarks about, "We own this country." The crowd erupted and both members of Code Pink were assaulted.
It's not just what we expected, it's what Americans deserved.
While all those right-wingers were chanting, USA, USA, in the video footage you can see the Code Pink members practically disappear as security guards, Republican bystanders, or both pull them down and tackle them. At least I haven't heard any reports of injuries. Hopefully that means there weren't any, but I can't vouch for that. On the 30th of August, as Mitt Romney was saying, "We own this country," RDC, one of the same groups that has organized big protests against Walmart in D.C., staged a massive march from Malcolm X Park to 14th and U, the intersection where people spontaneously poured out into the street for a massive party on election night in 2008 when returns were in and McCain had lost. Banner says "No Romney Economy" in fluorescent orange. That's literally true. At one of the companies controlled by Bain Capital, Romney's old outfit, not only were workers told that their factory would close so that a factory could be opened in China to take their places for less wages, but they were even ordered to train their replacements for the factory in China. Some D.C. residents spoke out about their personal experiences with the kind of economics that Mitt Romney stands for. Where the massive parties the night that Obama won the election back in 2008 were held, and where something else would have happened if word had gotten out that McCorps had stolen the election. As a reminder of that evening in 2008, the crowd took to the streets blocking 14th and U. Here it comes. Surge into the street. Was defeated in 2008, now the heart of the resistance to Mitt Romney and his economy here in D.C. on this night of the 30th of August. Their point made, protesters withdrew the blockade without getting any problems whatsoever from the police. All I want to say is Romney don't care about us. All I want to say is Romney don't care about us. All I want to say is Romney don't care about us. All I want to say is Romney don't care about us. That ugly spectacle known as the Republican National Convention is over. The Democratic National Convention is now underway. D.C. area activists, including activists from the Anarchist Alliance D.C. Network, are in Charlotte, North Carolina right now, organizing protests around the Democratic National Convention. Here's a report from one of the D.C. activists of the Anarchist Alliance D.C. Network about the Occupy camp that has been set up in Charlotte to be a base for the protests as of Saturday, the 1st of September. Okay, what's happening in Charlotte today? I hear protesters are gathering for the Democratic National Convention.
I arrived today in the morning, and it's beautiful because actually we do have an occupation. We do have an occupation at Marshall Park, which is in the middle of downtown here in Charlotte.
Ooh.
And we have around 15 to 20 tents set up already, and we are expecting more people to bring more tents also, and we're expecting more people to show up later on today. So last night, we have an occupation here in Charlotte, and we are going to be getting, you know, the resistance march in the day of the convention. As right now, we're just getting ready, painting banners. We are going to have a punk show pretty soon where we're going to be talking about what the DNC means for the protesters and radicals and anarchists here. Myself, as working with Anarchist Alliance DC Network, are here to collaborate and participate with all the actions and in anything that people in Charlotte need help with.
What are some of the details of the occupation you've got going in Charlotte? You said you've got water and food.
Yes, we were getting donations. Now that people know that we are setting up an occupation in Marshall Park, people have been donating water and food and clothing. I know there is some people dropping clothes. So far, that's what we have. And like I said, we have from like 15 to 20 tents already set up. And today, we are going to be setting up the art tent, so people can be working on banners, on signs, and everything, just getting ready for the DLC.
And if someone's just arriving in Charlotte, how do they get to Marshall Park?
It's a little bit of a walk. You might have to take the bus. And I think the buses that are arriving in the city, that are coming for the DLC, they are going to the Marshall Park directly, and they are dropping people there.
On the 2nd of September, protests surrounding the Democratic National Convention kicked off with a march out of Occupy Charlotte's camp, estimated by some news stations at about 1,000 strong. Here's an interview with a participant in the march who's from right here in D.C.
Today there was a march, and different groups and coalitions show up, including Occupy Charlotte, Occupy Wall Street, Anarchist Alliance, DC Network. We have a couple of unions, also called Inc., among others. So, and we just got back from that march.
What's the status of the Occupy camp?
Well, we're still holding the camp. And last night we got a donation of 3 large tents. So we have enough space for people to sleep. Also, because it's about to rain right now, you know, people are just getting in the tents. We got some donation of bread and water, so we're pretty good right now. It's a really nice location in the middle of downtown in Charlotte.
That was someone from the Anarchist Alliance DC Network who participated in the Sunday, September the 2nd march in downtown Charlotte against the Democratic National Convention.
Come from the cities and come from the hills. They come down the river and rumble and roll forward. They come down to Babylon's gates and high walls.
the 3rd of September, unions held a large parade in Charlotte, North Carolina, to support President Obama just before the Democratic National Convention. A smaller march of anarchists and Occupy Charlotte activists entered the parade. In effect, they asked what Obama was smoking if he thought he could send more troops to Afghanistan and keep Guantanamo Bay open, yet expect opponents of war and arbitrary arrest to vote for him in November. One participant from D.C., from the Anarchist Alliance D.C. Network, spoke on the phone about the events of the day.
Today we participated in the parade for the unions and the workers. The unions here in Charlotte are supporting Obama, and we basically infiltrate ourselves, a few from Occupy Wall Street, and a few from Anarchist Alliance, and a few from Occupy Charlotte, made a small little march in the middle of the parade against Obama.
Oh!
Yeah, and we were about 15 people, and not arrest, nobody got arrested.
What was the reaction to that?
The reaction at the beginning was a lot of confusion. They didn't know really what to do. They just keep looking at us like, should we do something? And then eventually they actually came to the park, Marshall Park, and this is where they ended the parade. Then we had no confrontation, but like face-to-face debate between the supporters of Obama and the coalition here at Occupy Charlotte. And that went pretty well, too, because we got a lot of media, and I did a mic check, which was the only mic check without a microphone, because everybody was using this little microphone that was going around, and I decided not to use it. And, yeah, basically my mic check was the radical mic check. We have a few informants that were like, well, you might want to think about voting for Obama or not voting for Obama. And I was like, no.
What issues were raised against Obama? Did people bring up Guantanamo Bay or the continuing war in Afghanistan?
Yes. When the supporters started asking, but Obama is a great candidate for these elections, and we were like, yeah, what about Guantanamo? What about bringing the troops back? Also, the healthcare was another complaint.
I assume the healthcare complaint was about the compulsory private purchase scheme, the one that was modeled on a Heritage Foundation proposal from years ago, and is basically the fruition of insurance company dreams from 40 years ago. Was that basically what the issue was with the healthcare?
Yeah, basically that was the things that were, the people that were complaining about, you know, what Obama didn't do, we'll say, something similar like that.
And that would be single payer, right?
That's a participant from the Anarchist Alliance DC Network, and she also had a very ugly piece of news. It turns out that some folks from Occupy Oakland, who were going to Charlotte for the Democratic National Convention protests, were arrested and held overnight by police somewhere in Texas.
So another news. Our friends from Oakland just got arrested last night somewhere in Texas, but they were released today in the morning. So they should be on their way.
The Occupy Oakland people were arrested in Texas on their way to the Democratic National Convention.
Yes.
That is ugly.
That is ugly, and that happened yesterday.
Fortunately, they were released. As this was being recorded on the 3rd of September, they're on their way to the protests against the DNC in Charlotte, North Carolina. And as of the 3rd of September, the Occupy camp in Marshall Park was up to 37 tents. And surely more tents will be set up as more people arrive for the protests. On the 4th of September, in Charlotte, where the Democratic National Convention is being held, veterans staged a Free Bradley Manning march on the convention. After all, it has been on Obama's watch that Bradley Manning has been held for well over a year without trial for allegedly passing documents to WikiLeaks. This march was reported on Twitter to succeed in blocking busloads of delegates going to the Democratic National Convention. Marchers from the Occupy Charlotte and anarchist contingents were unable to reach the Bradley Manning March as police surrounded their feeder march and refused to let them go anywhere except into the so-called free speech zone. These zones have been around since the 1988 Democratic National Convention in Atlanta, where their mayor tried and failed to prevent all protests in the streets. At the 2004 Democratic National Convention in Boston, the main use of the Free Speech Zone was for a Guantanamo Bay protest, since the razor wire fences made it look like Camp X-Ray. In Charlotte, the so-called Free Speech Zone or protest pen is a fenced-off area like a jail. Police seem to have picked a stupid area to try to block marchers simply trying to reach another march. Here's live sound from the feeder march at about 1:30 p.m. September the 4th.
So we'd be doing exactly what we're doing right now, except now we're blocking a ton of traffic. We got, I don't know how many of you people here. There are so many cops around here, so, like, I think, I don't even know who we've got here. I think we've got three or maybe five, each of you. So I don't know who ordered you guys to stop here. I don't know why they ordered it. I can come up with two reasons. One, they're goddamn morons. They are absolutely the dumbest person in the world. Because, honestly, this is not protecting anyone. This is not keeping anyone safe. This is just annoying people and having you guys stand out here. You don't want to stand out here. You guys are, I know you're sweating in those earphones, but I'm sweating right here.
Here is an interview with someone from the Anarchist Alliance DC network from inside the Surrounded March, trying to reach the Bradley Manning March.
We didn't even like get to the march. We just got surrounded in each stone wall street, and they're not letting us move anywhere. We're completely surrounded. The only place that they're letting us go is this stupid cage that they had built for us that they call the Free Speech Zone. And it's surrounded by red fences, and they think that we're going to go in there. This is Occupy, Charlotte, D.C., Wall Street, Anarchist Alliance, and yeah, basically, we didn't get to the march. We just didn't get there. The march is somewhere else.
The police were so afraid of having the Bradley Manning march and the Occupy and Anarchist contingents join together that at the same time that they were blocking the Occupy and Anarchist march from proceeding any further at the price of a massive blockade of traffic, they also blocked the Bradley Manning march from reaching the same free speech zone, the same protest jail that the anarchists and Occupy activists didn't want to enter. The price of this was that the Bradley Manning march, instead of going to the free speech zone, found themselves also out in the street blocking busloads of delegates from going to the Democratic National Convention. Brilliant move, Charlotte police.